It is a blessing and a joy to see all of us back together this evening. If you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, and we read together a fascinating passage, which is one that I think is familiar to all of us. You may not know where it is located, but once we start reading together, it'll come back to you very quickly. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse number 22. Matthew 14, beginning with the 22nd verse. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And so here we have the account of Jesus walking on the water, and also Peter walking on the water, but not quite as well as Jesus. And there's a lot of different things we might say about this, most of which time will not permit. But one thing I think sometimes we overlook is this. Peter reminds us so much of ourselves, not just in the worst of his mistakes. Sometimes we see ourselves in those, but in the most of the way he presents himself most usually, we can easily see ourselves living out and reacting in the same manner as he does in various circumstances, this one being a case in point. Peter reminds us here somewhat of that man who having a child in need of a miracle, believes, and Jesus understands that, and he says to Jesus, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Or as one translation there says, "I believe, help me to believe more." And most of us are like that, and as we say in the case here, like Peter. Yes, our faith is there, but how strong is it? Our faith is there, but how long will it last us? Our faith is there, but will it really withstand the tough and difficult times? And it's not so much about our strength, because it never is. It's always about our willingness to trust in a God who's promised us some things, promised us to be with us, promised us a way through, a way out, a way beyond, promised us that all things work together for good, promised us so many things. And we just sang a song a moment ago from Psalm 23, which suggests the very same idea that even back in the Old Testament, God was telling his people, "I'm with you. Just trust me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Trust me." And like Peter, we see the miracle before our eyes, and we in our situation, putting ourselves into his, we can imagine ourselves saying, well, I think I could do that too. If you can do it, give me the power, I'll do it. Command me come to you. And Jesus does not respond by saying, well, no, this is not yours to do. He simply says, come. And you have to hand it to Peter for his immediate faith at the moment in stepping out on the water. Now, if you've been in a pool or a lake, you know there's a difference in swimming and jumping in and stepping off into. All three of which have the same conclusion. You're in the water and sometimes under the water. But never do you step on the water and expect to be able just to stroll across the top as if it were a frozen situation. Now Jesus is doing that even in boisterous times with turbulent winds. And for just a moment or a few moments, Peter does that. And it takes a great deal of faith for him to not just ask the question, but to go through with it and take that first step out of the boat onto and into the water. And he must have been just as surprised as we would be, realizing here I am stepping out on top of the water. I'm not going down into the water just as Jesus is doing it, so I'm doing it. And yet Peter looks out and he sees the situation for what it is, which is the point I'd like to make this evening. Faith is easy to hold on to. Trust is easy to hold on to until we set our eyes upon the problems that require our faith in Jesus to deal with. And we spend our time and waste our moments in looking at the problems, in weighing the pros and cons, the ins and outs, the various vicissitudes of life as they are. And because of that, like Peter, we lose sight of the faith we at first had. And as Peter does, we begin to sink in the midst of our own difficulties. But that's not even the full story, because that's just the way Peter was, the way all humanity is, the way we are. And I'll just tell you, God, in a sense, made us this way. He could have made us invincible with no choice to make in the matter. We could have been undefeatable automatons. We could have been robots. We could have been those who just, with no decision, can go about doing God's work and nobody can stop us, nothing can stop us. We are impenetrable. And yet God made us instead, on purpose, vulnerable and needy and weak, and yet with a mind of our own. Now you might ask the question, because I've asked it myself, why did he thus make us? Well, that's a question not for me. That's a question for God. But he did. He made us vulnerable and weak and needy, and he gave us the right to make our own choices. Which leads us to the situation Peter is in here, and leads us to the one we find ourselves in so often. This matter of faith and trust, which needs to be stronger, but for the moment isn't. Needs to grow, and we hope it will. And through times like this for Peter, through times such as this for us, we find that faith grows naturally just as God wants it to. We trust him more and more as we've seen more and more of what God is able to do and what God is willing to do. But this brings us to the point. When Jesus sees Peter sinking, it's not that God can't do anything. Of course God can do anything. It's not that Jesus is powerless. It's seen in just a moment. That's not the case. But because Peter takes his eyes and fixes them and his focus upon the problems about him, the waves and the wind, and his fear takes over, and then that fear replaces his faith and he begins to sink. What happens next? I want you to look, if you have your Bible still open with me. When Peter begins to sink, he says, because of his fear, his sinking, he says, Lord, this is the last of verse 30. Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Now, stop right there. We know about the faithlessness that we've been talking about since we started this lesson. Jesus talks about that. Oh, you of little faith. Your faith needs to be stronger. Of course it needed to be stronger. But before you get to that, and after he says, Lord, save me, what happens? Well, the first thing to be done is what the Lord does. He stretched out his hand and caught him. Now you put yourself, and this is a hard question to bring up, but if you can, just imagine putting yourself in the place of our Lord. Wouldn't you have been just a little bit tempted to let Peter blubber for a while? I mean, after all, he caused this problem. It's his faithlessness is causing him to sink. Let him stew in his own juices for a while. Let him thrash about for a while. But notice the word immediately. Jesus immediately stretches out his hand and catches Peter. And then everything is all right. Yes, God made you and me vulnerable. And he made you and me weak on purpose, so that his strength can be seen in our weakness, as was said to the Apostle Paul in the second letter of Corinthians. But all of this, from the Lord's perspective, is understanding the fact that when times are tough and we find our faith beginning to fail, if we'll reach out in our thoughts, in our language, in our behavior to him who's promised to help us, he's not there waiting to condemn or to scold. Yes, our faith needs to be stronger. And yes, we'll have that sense within ourselves. We need to be stronger. But for the moment, what we need most is what Peter had. Jesus immediately reached out and caught him. Because, and this has less to do with Peter and everything to do with Jesus, because that's the Lord we serve. I'm so thankful Jesus is not like I would be, like many of us would be. Yes, he's a Lord that has rules and boundaries. He's a Lord that believes in us following his word. If you love me, keep my commandments. But he's also a Lord of forgiveness. A case somewhat like this. Same person, Peter, sometime later. And you know the story of his denial. Three times of even knowing Jesus. And then the last chapter of John has, after Christ's resurrection, Jesus talking with Peter. That subject of the three denials doesn't come up. Instead, Jesus just asked him, Peter, do you love me more than these? And he had said as much before the crucifixion, before the arrest. Though all the other apostles are offended because of you this night, I won't be offended. I'll die for you, Peter says. He is in fact saying as much as I love you more than they do. So now the first question Jesus asks, after all of the dust of history is cleared now, Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes. Second time. Do you love me? Yes. Third time, do you love me? Well, just as Peter had denied even knowing Jesus three times, he now states his love for Jesus three times. And somewhat like this story here, Jesus does not do what many of us would do. Peter, do you remember just a few days ago when you even denied knowing me? What a shameful thing that was. Not a big difference in what you did and what Judas did. I want you to spend the next few years thinking about what you did. I had in mind for you to speak on Pentecost Day, but not now. Not because of what you've done. You've gone too far, and you go over to the side here by the fire, and you sit and think about that for a while. No, Peter, do you love me? Once and twice and three times. And then you remember at the last of John, when Jesus is having this interaction with Peter, after Peter has said three times, I love you, Jesus then speaks of that time in the future, that time in Peter's future, when he would give his life as a martyr for Christ. That's the Lord we serve. Yes, he expects things. And yes, we must keep his commandments. And yes, we must do all we can to be all we can be according to his will. But more than everything else, he wants us, underneath everything else, to trust him for the Lord he is, a Lord that cares about us and wants for us the best, not the worst, and believes in us the best and not the worst. A Lord that when we say, as Christians, having difficulties and need of help, Lord, save me, one who hears our petitions, God the Father, with his Son at his own right side now, and with the advocacy of that Son, the Father saying, I must help. I will help. Turn in your songbooks for a moment to 415. 415, which speaks of this very idea. And before we sing, we're going to sing all three verses in just a moment, but notice verse number 2. At times I feel my faith begin to waver. When up ahead I see a chasm wide, it's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. That's the Lord we serve. 415. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand he leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver. When up ahead I see a chasm wide, it's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Throughout the breadth and length of the New Testament, well, the Bible writ large for that moment, but for the New Testament, we'll consider for just a second here. The work of heaven in the lives of its people is through scripture and experiences to remind us and urge us to always remember that we need help, that we can't do things on our own, by ourselves, of our own strength. And we need not, because we have all the help we need, if we will but, as the song says, trust and obey. When Jesus sends the apostles out under the authority of the Great Commission, remember His last words in Matthew 28, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Well, one apostle born out of due season named Paul, he had an illustrious life as a gospel preacher, experienced so much, endured so much. And then he was beset with what he described as a thorn in the flesh, which stymied his work, he believed, so much so that he prayed this thorn might be taken away. He prayed once and twice and three times this thorn might be taken away. And then God speaks to him and says this very same thing: "My grace is sufficient for you." God says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Well, these are just two examples of the commission and Paul's thorn to remind us of what we find flourishing throughout all the pages of the Bible, and especially the New Testament. The idea that, yes, God wants us to do all we can, but most of all, He wants us in the doing of it to trust Him, to do what we can't. He wants us to realize that we're not in this thing alone. We don't have to face our problems by ourselves. We don't have to answer all of our questions in ourselves. We have most of all simply to submit to Him. The first of the Beatitudes: not blessed are the strong. No, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. One last song this evening, 786. 786. And we'll just sing the first verse. Well, actually, let's sing the first and last. We'll leave the middle ones out.
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the shadows appear and the night draweth near, and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my Lord, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
And as we close, I draw our minds back to Peter. It seems like a mistake happened. It seems like a major error in judgment on Peter's place happened. It seems like things went wrong. And yet they went as right as they could have, because imagine if Peter had walked in the water, his faith had stayed strong, and he'd walked out and walked back and stepped in the boat without sinking at all. And then somebody asked him a few weeks later, "What happened, Peter?" "Well, Jesus walked in the water, and I did too." But no, because it happened the way it did. Peter couldn't boast about what happened. He couldn't talk about, "Remember that time I walked on the water?" Instead, it's, "Remember that time when I kind of almost for a moment, walked in the water and then started sinking because I was so afraid, and Jesus saved me?" The way it turned out, Peter had every reason to trust more in Jesus and less in himself than he ever would have if he hadn't had the problem to begin with. And the same is true with you and with me. And these difficulties we have, and these times when we work on stronger faith and we are so ashamed of our weakened faith, looking back on them, just like Peter's problem and just like Paul's thorn, we might be able to say, "That is the reason I trust more now. That's the reason I don't put my confidence in myself. That's the reason I put my faith in the Lord." To be honest with you, do any of us really trust ourselves? I don't trust myself. Do any of us trust our own strength? We shouldn't. But all of us can every day trust the Lord, who's promised to be with us and to help us and to see us through. If you need to come this evening, don't put it off, but come now as together we stand and sing.